welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, praise God. Now, we've been going through a series, if you remember, called Out, the Ecclesia. Those who are outcalled from their church, the chosen, the invited, the ordered, if you like, the called with authority people who are to make a difference around them, not because they're sort of supercharged with enthusiasm, but more because they're supercharged with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is working in their lives, because Jesus Christ lives in them. They become a people, we become a people, who can help a society turn round.
Right.
Now, that's not to say, you know, oh wow, we're so awesome, we're so wonderful, that it's going to make a difference. It's all to do with what God does in us and what God has done in us. All right, we can't do anything good in ourselves. So we've been looking at a lot of that, of what it means to say Christ in us. And I've been really focusing on the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, well, what does it say in the truth? I haven't memorized the truth. I have been crucified together with Christ. The person I was no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in God's Son, who has loved me by giving himself on my behalf. Amen. And I'm just going to grab a bit of this, otherwise I'm going to be coughing all over you. Hallelujah. The other side of things that we've skirted around, really, is particularly focused on that verse from Esther. Yeah, Esther 4:14, which says, you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's closely linked with it. That's almost like a now word for the Christians of Scarborough. It's definitely a now word for Kingdom Faith Church here in this building and spread around wherever we're coming from today. You have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is the ecclesia. And there is a timing in God's purpose. None of us are here by accident. I don't know how you came. Well, I do know how you came to be born, but I don't mean it like that. I don't know of the circumstances that caused you to be born. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I was an accident, or, you know, I was bland and my parents were trying for years. God's people are never an accident. Every person of God, he knows about, he's planned for, he has a destiny for, and he has something amazing for them to do. I was deliberately, when I was talking about Dave earlier, talking about him going on an adventure, because that's what our lives are if we're following Christ. It's an adventure in the sense of it can be dangerous, it's certainly going to be exciting, and we certainly really don't quite know what's going to happen. But what we do know is that we're called for such a time as this. Of course, that is the theme of the conference in May. You know, with our speakers, Paul Manwaring from Bethel, Clive Urquhart, Jared Cooper and myself. It's not an accident that it's called this. It's very purposeful. It's very sort of the Holy Spirit in saying, right, this is what's going to be happening this time. So it will be a training and an equipping for us and for all those that come into the purposes that God has, because we're going to see like a growing in the things of God throughout this year. All right. Last year was very much it was a foundational year in terms of getting this place. Now God wants it full. All right. God wants it over full. My desire is to see a queue on the street and we have to say, sorry, you'll have to come to the second service. We're full now. Why? Because then I know people are starting to get lives changed. And even if we had 3 full services in here a day, that would be about 1,200 people. That's still a minuscule amount of people in Scarborough, let alone the region. So at some time in the future, this is not immediate future, this is longer term future. That's why there will be other congregations in other towns, because we've got to change a region. All right, Jesus is on the move. Jesus is building his church and we're his body. So we just need to do what he says and he'll go ahead of us. What we have is awesome. What we have is good. And I want to share it. You know, we would be the most selfish people on the planet, wouldn't we, if we kept a big secret what we have. Wow, how cruel can you get? We have healing. We have peace. We have freedom from depression. We have the power to overcome addiction. And we don't share it. I've got, as an aside, though I got the box out just now, this is one box of many. They made a mistake with the delivery and the load got damaged. So, funnily enough, like last year, we've got thousands of these things now. So, I'd be really grateful. I mean, as I say, this is just one box, and we've got quite a few boxes and some big boxes. You know, take these and use them productively. That's great to hear Dave and Heidi, can't see them, we were here a minute ago, they're giving them out in the mine shop to their customers. Awesome, just putting it in a bag, you know? Yeah, use some ideas like that. Ask some shops, can I put one of these up? You can put them, well, give them two, they can put one up one way and one up the other way. And they were originally just going to be, what they were designed for was to order just a few, a couple of hundred, believe it or not, to give out at the men's day, because we hadn't been able to get the brochure together. But then we were looking at costs and stuff and just said, well, what we'll do short term then, let's just order loads of those instead of getting the brochure done, because it's quite expensive. Although it was very significant in bringing people. So it's one of those things, you know. So anyway, they're there, but please, 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 please don't leave us with loads and loads and loads. I wouldn't be disappointed if none were left in that box. Only disappointed if you took them away and you didn't have anything to do with them, obviously. You've got to use them productively. And we've got they're due to go out to other churches as well now. So it's all on, really, for that now. Hallelujah. Right, the kilt thing, what was all that about? It was a bit of a laugh, really, just a bit of fun at the start. But the thing I'm talking to you about, linked in with this verse, is how do you see yourself? Yeah. What's your identity? And who do you, if you look to people in the world, perhaps even, maybe many of you don't think like this, but who do you identify with? What I want is three volunteers. I need someone who is really successful. Let's call you Sir Chris Hoy, because he's been knighted, so he must be successful. Sir Chris Hoy is a pretty successful Olympian. Who's feeling successful? You see, now that says something. There's only half a smile. Ron, come on, you're successful. If you can just stand there. Okay, now imagine that's Sir Chris Hoy. You've got good imaginations, haven't you? You can face this way. And I'm going to be a little bit mean. I don't really mean to assess things like this, but we'll take another major athlete, and we can't really compare them like this, but just for the purpose of an example, because he's got a sir, all right, we'll have Bradley Wiggins next, okay? And he's pretty successful with the old stuff. So have we got a... Right, so you're moderately successful. just there, you can... Yeah, you can stand there, you can read my notes. Start preaching, why not? And then I need someone who's a bit of a failure. Right, I'm actually quite pleased that nobody rapidly volunteered. No, I'm going to take Chris here. Oh, sorry, Keith, I've already got somebody. Oh. There you go. Now, you're all acting because, believe it or not, we haven't got Bradley Wiggins with us today. I know he's a dead ringer, isn't he? So, that's your scale from someone who is not doing very well at all. We haven't actually named anybody for obvious reasons. This is not Chris Birch. All right? This is somebody else who we don't know. Yeah. Through to Bradley here. Pretty successful, Tour de France, all that stuff, but not a sir. All the way over to Sir Chris Hoy. So successful he's had to retire. So, if this was a scale, where do you see yourself on this scale? From failure to success, whereabouts are you? Now, don't answer, but just have a think for a minute. Just have a think about how you consider yourself. I mean, do you, when you see Sir Chris Hoy on television and he's winning Olympic medals and stuff like that, do you think, I'm just like him? I'm a success like he is? Or do you ever see, hopefully not, but you never know, you know, a bad news article and you're almost identifying with that person who's somebody who's blown it because they did something stupid? Where are you on the scale? Now, what I now need is somebody who's a Christian. This is really getting dangerous now. I was really pleased about the lack of failure in the room, but... Oh, it's a Richard. Okay, we've got a Christian. A round of applause for the Christian, everybody. Oh, we've got Keith as a Christian. Right. Go away. Right. Right. Okay, this is a man of God because he said yes to Jesus, right? So now we've got to put you in on this scale. So where do we put him? I mean, when you meet with Jesus at the cross, you're there. I'm going to put you where you are now. Walk with me. In fact, I could keep going and going and going and going. We could go over to the lake.
No.
Can you still hear me in there?
Too far.
Yeah. We could go over to the Lake District in comparison with these guys. Thank you very much.
Right.
Thank you to all the volunteers. Now, I know that's a bit simplistic, but I just want you to see that that's who you are in Christ. Because you're not you. Once you say yes to Jesus, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I'm saying to you is, where would you put Jesus Christ on this line? You know, he's so far removed that we need Jesus Christ to be like Jesus Christ. There's no other way to do it. And no matter how successful or unsuccessful anybody is in the natural, is nothing compared to Jesus. And this verse clearly says that Jesus comes to live in us.
That's right, yeah.
All right, the person I was, wherever you were on this scale, the person I was no longer lives. But Christ lives in me. That's what grace is. It puts you in a place you could never achieve. It takes you to a place you could never deserve.
Yes, that's right.
You might have done all kinds of... You might feel in the natural that you're right down this end somewhere. But that's nothing compared with where you actually are. Your feelings are lying to you because you've been picked up and placed in a new place. In the hub.
That's right.
In the Lake District. On the west coast of America. All right? As far removed from the natural as we could possibly ever imagine. It's a position that we get placed in.
Yes, that's right.
And we're in it because we're hidden in Christ and he is hidden in us. We are totally and completely absorbed with the person of Jesus.
Amen.
That's good news. It means every day when you wake up, it's like, I'm a success. Amen. That's a good way to start the day. New every morning, great is your faithfulness, Lord.
Come on.
Yeah? I've got a good day ahead of me. Even if you've got a struggling, hard, horrible day ahead of you, you've got a good day ahead of you in Jesus. Because he's going to help you overcome everything. And it's only when we get back on that scale, from the failure through Bradley through to Chris, that Chris, not that Chris, because that wasn't that Chris, that was the failure. Chris is not there, Chris is out in the hub. So on that scale... You don't even come into it, you're right out there. All right? But Christ now lives in me. This isn't a blessing. I can't, none of us can go up to somebody and sort of give them a Holy Spirit and say, that's it, you've got Christ in you now. Christ in you is part of the new birth in Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus, when you go through the word that we use is repentance. The Greek word is metanoia. It means when you go through that change of mind of saying, I'm in charge of my life, or even I'm not in control of my life, Jesus is going to be in charge of my life. When you go through that change of mind, you come into a completely new place in Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, you say, well, my life doesn't match up to that. Well, that's because, here's another verse, John 10, verse 10.
Amen.
The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Again, we've got two opposites here. The thief coming to steal, kill and destroy. And Christ himself says this. So he says, I have come, that's Jesus Christ, that they, that's you, may have life and have it to the full. And the word used for full means super abundantly, over the top. It's not just, oh, I got a full glass. It's a glass that's overflowing and pouring absolutely everywhere. Jesus doesn't just give you, oh, here you are, his full life. It's full life. All right? It's something that changes you. It's something that empowers you. Made some of you wake up. Some of you jumped. I jumped. So, who are you going to side with? Are you going to put yourself on this scale near the bottom? Because there's somebody that agrees that that's where you should be. Jesus in this verse calls him the thief. It's the devil. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. If there's stealing, killing, or destruction in your life, it's from the enemy. It's not from God, because God came to give you life. Life in all its fullness. A place in the hub. Terrible analogy. It's worn out now. Our identity is not where we are on a scale. It's not on what we wear, even if we've got one of those amazing kilts that make us a real man. You know, it's not. But so often, if you take a little stop and think, that is where we think our identity is. That's what we're concerned about, our hairstyle or our shoes. I mean, I can fall into that. I like to. It's not that we can't wear nice things, but it's not our identity. I think, actually, it's important to look good. Otherwise, it's another obstacle to people hearing about Jesus. If you're scruffy and you smell, it's harder to tell somebody about the love of God. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, and God gave me this body, so I want to do the best I can with it. Yeah, it's actually described of, as in the Word, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is living in here, I should do something about looking after the thing and making it look at least reasonably presentable. Of course, there can be vast differences on what's reasonably presentable. You might think jeans and a jacket is well scruffy and I should be in a suit and tie. Yeah, Anne's nodding. She was, actually, but I don't think it was for that. I just said that and I was sitting there going... It has been known. I scrub up very well. The truth means that you're just not the same as you used to be before you know Jesus. Whenever you share your story, whenever anybody who's become a Christian shares their story, the story consists of, this is how I was, I met with God, and this is how I am now. The rest of it is hugely, you know, a huge difference, but that's the basic story. And if you ever want to tell a story about how you got saved, that's the basic structure of how to do it. This is what I was, this is what happened when I got saved, or this is what God did, and this is what I'm like now. This is the difference. Because people want to know the difference, and there's a huge difference. You know, huge difference. Even if you're one of those people that had sort of a quite calm, you know, upbringing into it, you can still see what, tell the story of what God has done in your life. If you've grown up in the church, you're one of the most blessed ones. And sometimes you think, oh, my story is not very good. No, tell that story. This is how God's kept me safe. A lot of people would like that part to be true for them. You know, a good testimony is not the one that's had the disaster. And then we like those ones, they're fun. But the best ones are the ones. I was born to Christian parents, and they brought me up safe, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 10 or whatever. I got baptized, and I've carried on in God ever since. That's a fantastic, awesome story. But even within that story, there'll be things you can tell.
Yes.
You know? Tests, maybe. Struggles. Great things that happened. Stories of, you know, this came through for me, this happened, this was a great, you know, event in my life. Stories of God's provision. Amazing, isn't it? You can do that if you've been brought up as a Christian. Of course, you get to make a decision at some point, but for some people, they're not quite sure when it was, because it just seems like they've always been there. The answer is, you probably made the decision when you was about two. So you're not really aware of it. That's quite difficult to do a before. But you'll still have stories of God's faithfulness. Praise God. Maybe we should get some people telling their stories up here. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
I'll see if we can get it sorted. So the verse goes on to say, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in God's Son. And that's the key. It's faith from start to finish. Faith says, I'm out there, not on a line.
Come on.
I'm not somewhere on a line from failure to success. I am placed. In fact, the Word of God actually says you're placed in heavenly places. You are sat in your spirit on the very throne of God. You can't really get much further than that in perfection. That's where you are sat. That is your position of grace. That's where you can live from. You're saying, I don't know how to do it. Well, we're going to do more about how to do it. But a very simple way to say how to do it is to believe the Word. And when you're struggling to believe the Word, it's to pray with the Word. Okay, how do you pray with the Word? Well, you could use this verse. And you could use that expression, Christ lives in me. When you're feeling like you're at the bottom of the scale, you can remind yourself, Christ lives in me. Thank you, Jesus, that Christ lives in me. Thank you, Jesus, that Christ lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. All right, that's what it is. It's taking hold of the Word. You might not say it out loud even. You might just sit and think about that Word and see yourself pictured in sat in heaven on the throne. If you feel a little awkward about seeing yourself pictured on the throne in heaven, that says something about where your faith is. Repent. If you felt a little bit awkward about the idea of picturing yourself sat in heaven, that's where you are. So the awkwardness is a lack of faith. You're saying, I don't agree with Jesus. I don't think I should be there. So if you felt anything like that, just say sorry, because you just sinned. Repent. And now think, oh, I'm sat there. But what about all this stuff? Well, that stuff comes under the blood.
That's good.
It's not you. It's him. But I do this. Yeah, I know you do. Well, I don't personally. But I might, some of you. But repent. Change your mind about what you do. You say, well, I've done that before and I do it again. Well, that's why it's called a walk. Because you're on a journey. And you learn to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you learn to live and not fall for the same sins that you used to fall for. You know that's true for most. Most of you will have a story of things that you used to be tested in that you're no longer tested in. Yeah? When I came back powerfully to God when I was at university, my mouth was like a sewer. I just swore all the time. Really horrible, horrible words. You know, swear words and using the Lord's name in the wrong way. It was just part of my language. And for me, there was a switch. I just stopped. God changed me. You might have a story. You know, that might be true for you. It might be not. It might be one of your particular struggles, because different people struggle with different things. And some people have things that they walk with most of their lives. And they just have to come back to the mercy of God and the grace of God to say, I'm human. It's not that you accept the sin. It's not that you say, oh, it's okay. I'll just ask God for forgiveness. No, we're not going there. In fact, we're praying for a fear of God to come upon us to cause us to be stronger in him so that we overcome even the sins that have pestered us for tens of years. But let's acknowledge that there are stuff like that. Because otherwise everybody sits in this room feeling that they're a failure because they sinned. I don't think it's great to talk about sin. You can get into a right mess if you all start, everybody starts telling everybody about what they're doing. There is a place and a right place to confess to one another and to hold one another accountable. But we wouldn't start having a mass confession here. We'd start glorifying sin. So we don't generally go on about what sins we're committing in front of everybody here, because we'd be focused on that instead of on the Lord. And we need to be focused on who we are in Christ and the fact that we are sat in heavenly places. Amen? So sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking we're on some scale from failure to success, and we've forgotten that we are sat in success. We are sat with the ultimate in success. We are sat with our Heavenly Father in heaven on the throne, in the Spirit. Amazing. So, the life I live by faith. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in God's Son. That's what I've just been expanding. So when you fail, thank God. Because when you fail, it reveals you've been trusting yourself. So it's a blessing to fail. It reveals that you've been ignoring the presence of Christ that's within you. Yeah, that's a bit strong. No, it's just the truth. I just want to live more and more in that presence, don't you?
Yeah,
so it's pointless running away from what the truth is.
Yeah.
We've got to acknowledge that without God, we generally would be that end. Just a failure. But because we have him, we're out the windows. In fact, sometimes the things that you're good at can be your weakness in terms of ministry. Because if you're good at something, you can do it without the Lord. Because when I trust him, I succeed. That's the message, really, isn't it? That's the bottom line. The things that you're good at can be your greatest weakness because you're more likely to move in your own strength just to get the job done. So as I was saying, the great musicians, you can come up there and you can play well, but it won't release the same anointing as if you're dependent on the Spirit. And in fact, any musician that plays in the Spirit will find themselves doing things that they didn't know they could do because they can't. It's absolutely true, isn't it, musicians? And I can see Nigel's nodding furiously. It's a common testimony. If you just get into what the Spirit's doing, you'll find you can play notes or sing notes or reach across the fretboard or the keyboard in ways that you didn't think you could. And you couldn't because you're now flowing in the anointing. It's a fear that comes upon you whenever you want to bring the word of God, because the more you speak to a crowd, the better you can get at it. And so I have to be more careful now than when I was even worse, because I'm a success, I'm out the window. But because I could just depend on my own strength and try and entertain people. All right, you're always constant. Well, what's right? Is this of God? Am I doing what God wants here? We have to do what we do in his strength. Now, if we do what we're good at in his strength, then we're going to be a great blessing. It's ridiculous to say natural talent is not needed, because natural talent is usually lots of practice. You know? If you want to do anything well, even in the Spirit, you're going to have to practice it. Again, music's an easy, obvious example. You can't pick up an instrument and just play in the Spirit like you've been playing all your life. Unless some, well, that can happen, but it's not likely to, because God wants you to learn persistence. And you can learn a lot through learning an instrument. The last bit of the verse says, who has loved me by giving himself on my behalf. Notice it's in the past tense. All right, he has loved me. Why is it in the past tense? Because his love was shown when he did this. Because you can doubt that God loves you, because you're, and if you're feeling, does God love me? Can God love me at the moment? What you're doing is you're asking God to love you based on your current performance. But God never loves us according to our current performance, because he has loved us. Therefore, he loves us unconditionally. You could go out and commit the worst sin and God will never, ever stop loving you. He will anguish over what you're doing, be distressed at the pain you're causing yourself and others, but he'll never stop loving you. Even those that fail to spend eternity with him because they never took the opportunity to come to know Jesus, those that have to be apart from God, hell, for eternity, God loves them. God loves them passionately. God doesn't want that to happen. and so makes every way possible to call everyone who would respond to him to come to know Jesus so that they could be with him. The love he showed was that he would allow his son to die. It's a very powerful love that can do that to someone you love for the greater good. You know, those of you who are parents, imagine you were in a situation where you could choose the life of your son or your daughter, or you could save the lives of 100 people, but there's no other option. I mean, there's no point really even going into it. Who would know? You'd have to be there, but I think I would go for son every time. And yet God just didn't. He allowed him to go through all that grief and all that suffering and all that pain, which he had no reason to have to do at all, except for the greater good, except because he loved. So there's never any need to question God loves you. The matter is settled. It's beyond question. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have any challenges. So just to remind us of this, here's a little bit from Paul writing from Corinthians. And Paul has been writing to the Corinthians saying, he's imploring them, he says, not to reject the grace of the gospel, which is kind of what I'm doing this morning to you. Don't reject the grace that enables you to be loved and accepted completely, not based on your performance, not based on how you feel, not based on what you've done, but based on what Jesus has done. But then he says, where should we start? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to me, this is now the time of his favour, going from in the middle of verse 2. This is the day of his salvation, when you can be reconciled and made one with him. It's what we've been talking about. So Paul writes on, so we've no desire to hinder anyone from receiving what God wants to give. If we were to do that, our ministry would be discredited. No, we are able to commend ourselves in every way because of the cost we have been prepared to embrace for the cause of the gospel. We have needed great endurance in the face of many difficulties and hardships and in circumstances that have caused much distress. Now, I'm reading about St. Paul, probably one of the greatest heroes of the gospel after Jesus. One of the most significant men in history in changing this planet apart from Jesus. And listen to his story. We have suffered floggings, imprisonment, and even riots. We certainly have worked hard and have known what it is to be without sleep and food. We have had to live in purity. We have needed understanding, patience, and kindness. We have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and acted with love. We have spoken the truth and been instruments of God's power. We have needed to use the spiritual weapons of righteousness to be on the offensive and also in self-defense. We have known times of glory and yet been treated with dishonor. Sometimes we have been praised and at other times we have been slandered. Although we are genuine, we have been regarded by some as impostors. Sometimes we are well known in other places, nobody knows who we are. We have been close to death, but we're still here. We have been beaten, but not killed. Even in times of sorrow, we have continued to rejoice. Even when poor ourselves, we have been able to make many rich through what they have received from God. We have nothing ourselves, yet truly we have everything in Christ. Wow, what a story.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.